Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this Friday. A little overcast today. We're hearing next week. The real estate maven was telling me she was looking at the forecast there. They're saying it could rain like every day next week. And one of the local meteorologists, I don't know which one, said up to 10 inches of rain in Atlanta during the week next week.
I take rain over snow any day. I will. I take that over snow. I know it's going to be a little wet and it's going to be a tough commute coming in. Or whatever, but I'll take snow any day. I really will.
This show on Friday is going to get a lot interesting here as we continue through the morning. We're going to talk about the Braves in just a second. Do want to let you know, our college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, will join us in a little over 20 minutes from now. In the 9 o'clock hour, back-to-back, we're going to have the big stories, a couple of the big stories covered for you. Larry McReynolds, who has been with Fox doing NASCAR for, I can't tell you how long, old Larry McReynolds has been there forever, okay? He's going to join us from Daytona at 9, and Chip Carey is going to join us at 9:20, so we're going to get an insight on the pitchers and catchers and whatnot. I mean, do you remember the drought? Does anybody here remember the drought? You know, back to about, 2008 or so? It didn't rain here forever. I remember one day it was raining, Hugh, and it was raining so hard that the water was coming out of my flowing over out of my gutters, mm-hmm. and I was grabbing buckets and wheelbarrows to go out there and catch the rainwater because it hadn't rained in like 3 months.
But wait a minute, John. Why are you catching the rain in buckets, though?
It's because I didn't think it would rain for another 3 months, and I thought, you know, I wanted the rainwater to put on my flowers. And
you know, when you say stuff like that, it makes me not want a house. Immediately when he said that, because you're worried about the grass, I don't want those kind of, like, I like kind of the way my life is going right now. I have a whole lot of stuff I got to worry about. You worrying about whether or not it's going to rain, that just did something to my soul a little bit there. That just did something to me. You know, worried about my grass turning brown or something like that. That's just, yeah, that's a lot going on.
So there's a writer for a website called Hardball Talk. His name is Craig Calcaterra, and he is a Braves fan. And he wrote this big, just damning article. I mean, just laid it out.
Oh, he went in.
Yeah, he did. Braves fans think they are Braves think their fans are idiots.
Idiots.
That's the title of it. The last line is talking about McGurk and Anthopoulos. Why aren't they trying harder here? All I can conclude is that they, McGurk and Anthopoulos, think you're too stupid to know any better.
Well, this is what I got from it, because this was in big bold letters. He said there will be very few teams that have as much to spend in the marketplace next winter as the Atlanta Braves. So he's looking at it from a standpoint of the money that you have to spend. And again, when I read this story, John, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, he's made some points. He's talking about, you know, he talked about his 35 years as a Brave fan and how he's had some good times and he's had some bad times. I get where he's coming from. He's coming from the perspective of, you know, a diehard fan who's a long-suffering diehard fan who looked at this season with probably a lot of surprise, with a lot of young players that he could really get excited about that are potentially going to be here for a long time, and he wants them to push all in. But I think that it's important as a fan that you have to pull back a little bit and look at it from management's perspective. And I know that's kind of hard to do because, you know, for the most part, you know how we all feel about management at anywhere that we work, that, you know, we're not a big fan of management for the most part. So that's how he's looking at it. But you have to realize that management is trying to build this thing for the long haul. And on top of that, you have a lot of young players that you have potentially in position to come up real, real soon. You don't want to rush them up, but they're in position to come up soon. So you don't want to put yourself in positions where, you know, you're signing all these guys to these long-term deals and you're potentially keeping a young player down in the minors in his prime years. That I think that's the biggest thing that I got from it. And and the moves that they have to make, they have to be moves that will allow them to allow these young players to come up at a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm. Even without Carter Stewart and the fact that they couldn't come to a deal with Carter Stewart, look at who the Braves have that are ready now. Tuki Toussaint, Mike Soroka, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright. What do you do with all these guys? You got to find a spot for them in a rotation that already includes Mike Fulton-Nevich and Sean Newcomb and Kevin Gausman. And, you know, I mean, they have pitchers. I mean, they have lots of them. And who's to say that Ian Anderson, Mike Soroka, Tuki Toussaint won't be the backbone of your rotation for a decade or more? We don't know that yet. And so, I mean, just the idea of going out to spend money doesn't make much sense to me. But having said that, I got this tweet at 929 The Game in the thread. We're talking about it on our Twitter as well, from one of our favorite tweeters, Hugh, and this is what she writes. Was Liberty Media supporting a sports team or trying to further a real estate deal? Because they haven't done enough for their fans. I want you, me, a Braves apologist and spokesman to spin me, okay? So see, apparently I'm a Braves apologist and spokesman who has to spin her. All right, let me spin you. I'll give you a real simple spin. NL East champions. Right? I don't know what you want me to tell you. They won the NL East last year with this team. Well, I think they're pretty good. They were ahead of schedule. I look at this lineup, and yes, Josh Donaldson. Well, they only gave Josh Donaldson a one-year deal worth $23 million. I mean, he's a broken-down guy. Who's to say that Josh Donaldson won't put up 40 home runs this year? Well, he better. Well, I guess we have to find that out, don't we? Did you forget that he was an MVP? I mean, this guy can play if he's healthy. Well, if he's healthy, well, he is now. I don't know what you want me to tell you. You got Austin Riley down in the minors, and they think Austin Riley's going to be a guy. Their team, this lineup, potentially could be one of the best in all of baseball. And granted, they have to make some moves in the bullpen. I'm not arguing that they shouldn't make moves, but just make the right moves. I mean, do I want Bryce Harper on this team? I'm going to tell you right now the answer to that is no, I do not. I don't, Hugh. I don't want Bryce Harper on the Braves.
I think that some people would probably beg to differ to that.
I know they would.
Because you look at what he and I would say that I would probably be I'm in the boat with you, John, because I'm more worried about the chemistry of this team right now.
I don't want his 247 hit and 130 strikeout butt to be a bad guy and ruin everything that we've been building.
I mean, and that's the thing that you're kind of concerned about, because there was a little dysfunction in that locker room in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of worry about that. You're talking about Josh Donaldson as far as playing third base. You still have Johan Camargo who played pretty well. You know what I mean?
Pretty and so darn good.
You're in a position, I think, with the Braves where you have some young players that, you know, showing flashes last year. And Johan Camargo was one of those guys where, you know, he could potentially turn out to be a pretty good player.
No kidding.
So it's one of those things where you have good depth at certain positions with the Braves, and you have because you're talking about outfield a lot, have some older players out there that you might have to move on from. But presently, the way the team is constructed, presently the way the team is constructed, you can still make some noise with this. And I think last year was a huge surprise to everybody. But you don't want to mortgage your future. You want to make the right moves that again, aren't going to hamstring you for the long term.
One of the reasons I don't want Bryce Harper, whatever money you spend, I want you to spend on that bullpen. Okay? I don't care so much about a starter. Again, you have a bunch of guys who could be starters in the minor leagues. Mike Soroka showed you flashes last year. Tuki Toussaint showed you flashes. Kobe Allard, you know, I mean, we got to see a little bit more, but yeah, all right. But Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, again, you have all these young guys coming up. And so, again, the team wasn't afraid to make a move for Kevin Gausman late in the year last year, and that really helped. So, again, you know, no Anibal Sanchez this year. He's now in Washington. But still, this is a very good baseball team that has potentially a great offensive team. It is a great defensive team. I think the rotation could be, depending on who steps up and becomes that star, really good. It's the bullpen that you want to spend your money on.
And not only that, who's to say that this year, well, you know, you have a good season this year. That who's to say that next year you don't push all in and go all in for that free agent?
All right.
Because you've had another year under your belt, and maybe at that point we might have Tuki Toussaint and guys like that up here that are contributing and look like they're going to be mainstays. So, mm-hmm. you know, then you push all in for that other arm or that bat that you potentially might need.
Now, Mike's at Peachtree City, and he's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, Mike, what do you say? I mean, do you think that the Braves are lying to the fans by not going out and giving Dallas Keuchel a six-year deal?
No, I don't. Hugh, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, bud. As fans, we always want to see a big splash, and we associate with big names and this and that and the other. But Alex Anthopoulos and his team have their job for a reason. And as fans, we like to criticize and point fingers, and you should do this, that, or whatever. They're in those positions for a reason, and they like our staff. They like our young guys. They're a year older. They got a year more experience this year than last year. We have the pitchers. We have the bats. We have the speed. We have the field, you know, the gloves in the field. And in 3, 4, 5 years, everybody's going to be head-hunting our guys. So we're just going to keep our guys. Why do we have to go out and fish for players when we have them? I agree with what they're doing. We don't need – I mean, Josh Donaldson, I love him. I've watched him for years. Great signing, but we don't have to go get a bunch of big names. We have big names, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's what we do. I mean, again, this lineup, and I tend to agree. Thanks, Mike. I tend to agree with this. Do we need to have help in the bullpen? The answer is that
yes.
Absolutely yes.
Yeah.
And I told you, I covet the idea of Kimbrel being back here, but not for a 6-year deal, not at his age. You know, if he'll take a 3-year deal, then the Braves did make a run at Kelvin Herrera. Okay, mm-hmm. if the Braves can get Kimbrel to come back here, if Kimbrel has accepts a 3-year deal with another team that would have been within the Braves, because he wants to be here within the Braves' ability to pay that, and they don't make a move for that,
it might be a situation where, say, like for instance, a guy like Bryce Harper. They don't want a guy with that big of a name to come in here and smother the young players, the young up-and-coming stars that they have on the Braves. Mm-hmm. It's just a thought. I mean, it probably is not – carries no weight, but it's a thought. I don't think that he can come in and you know, just and extinguish Ozzie Albies or Ronald Acuna's star power. But still, you know, you got a guy coming into the locker room, and he might throw the chemistry off a little bit.
I mean, Josh Donaldson, he was injured last year. I understand that. But in the previous 3 seasons to that, he hit 120 home runs or thereabouts. The guy's a 40 home run guy. I mean, he's a huge bat.
Yeah, but I would say this though, to be honest, that I think that you're looking with it's still going to be a 2-platoon situation with him and Johan Camargo.
And it may be.
And because you're putting a lot on a guy who's been injured. You're putting a lot on that guy, and you're hoping that. He's going to be that guy that he used to be. He's been injured a lot. So that's probably why they put him over there so that, you know, he's probably going to spell Johan a little bit, probably going to be the starter. But Johan's going to work his way in there as well, mm-hmm. Give him some days off and things like that. Just try to keep him as healthy as you possibly can all season long.
Right, and he could also spell Dansby at short, and Charlie Culberson could come in and play a little second and short. And this team has a good bench. They've got a great lineup potentially. Look, you're talking about having – we don't know, and maybe it's putting too much pressure, Hugh, on him. We don't know exactly how – I don't know that we know exactly how good Ronald Acuna Jr. is to this degree. Hugh, is he the most dangerous hitter in all of baseball? And I mean, we're talking about the Goldschmidts and the Arenados and the Judges. I think he's potentially this year, you know, the Stantons, he's a guy that could potentially be in that rarefied air.
Who?
Acuna. I mean, he could be one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball.
He could be. No, I just love how it, like your enthusiasm for it. I really do. But he could be. He could be. No doubt.
I mean, he's got the potential.
I don't think he's going
to
be
a triple crown winner.
I don't think he's going to be in a slump though. I don't anticipate him being a guy that's going to be into that
with his
that
upside.
Sophomore
I'm
slump.
Not sure I would trade him for anybody in baseball, any hitter in baseball. Not with his upside.
No, not right now.
And that's how, you know, that's what Mike was saying. Guys are going to come poach us. And through all this, we don't even mention the name Freddie Freeman. The team, again, this is a very good baseball team. So I don't know why people are so angry about the Braves right now. I think you should be incredibly optimistic. And by the way, they're not making any moves. No,
they're fans, though.
Nobody
John.
Is, though.
Fans.
All right, show me. Well, the Phillies got Realmuto. Okay, great.
Fans.
I mean, congratulations to them. I mean, it's going to be a fist fight. Yeah, they got McCutchen. The Braves made a run at McCutchen. It's not like they didn't. It's not like they're sitting back going, eh. You know. I mean, they've dabbled out there, but I don't know that they should be or even should consider being in the Machado or Bryce Harper sweepstakes. I'm not sure that that helps them that much, because their focus should be on that bullpen and rebuilding that bullpen. Because I think they have the bats, the speed, the fielding and potentially the starting pitching, I think they're okay. They have one weak spot that they've got to spend their time and their interest on, to me anyway. So I don't know why everybody's so mad.
Because they're fans, John. Let me put it in a way that you can understand. The same way that we sit here and every year I have to talk you off the ledge about the lofty expectations that you have for the Atlanta Falcons. And I sit here and I sound like a bad person because I'm like, hey, man, you might want to temper that a little bit. And then people get mad at me and want to run me out of town. It's kind of the same thing, but it's with the Braves. It's the same thing, but it's with the Braves. And that's why I get it. I understand that. But I think that as a fan, I mean, I'm a fan of Atlanta Falcons as well. But I think that you have to be realistic. And I guess the reason why I look at it differently is because I kind of know a little bit about the inner workings of it and how teams think and the way the moves that they want to make. If you had every team every year that had a pretty good season that pushed all in, guess what? They would not be that good in 2 years because they're going to have all of these lofty contracts that they have for these older players. And they're not going to be in position to get younger players and keep that train rolling. Why do you think the Patriots have been able to sustain their success for so long? Because, number one, Tom Brady takes friendly deals. And that allows them to do other things with their cap. That's how you sustain your success.
Busy weekend ahead. Busy weekend of college basketball. There are some huge games that are going to sort of set up the conference tournaments and help us start to figure out who's going to be where and seeded what in March. Who's the biggest threat to Duke to win the national title? We're going to ask that of Deshaun Tate, our college basketball expert, next after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute and a tale of two...
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Congratulations to our own Hugh Douglas on his entrance into the Black Football College Hall of Fame.
Hugh Douglas's return to Philadelphia has been so smooth, it's as though he never left. His icon status went unchanged in his absence.
All through his career, especially in Philadelphia, Hugh Douglas was just a beast coming off the edge, always a problem. The one thing that I remember most about him, his motor.
You know what the great part about this is? Everybody accepts me like I continue to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What Douglas desires most is a championship ring. Just ask opposing quarterbacks. Hugh Douglas usually gets what he wants.
Can you dig it, baby?
Congratulations, Hugh. From all of us at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Man, a lot of angst in the air on this Friday.
Angst.
Falcons fans mad that, you know, they haven't made a big move. Again, free agency hasn't even opened up.
It's not a new league year.
You know, Braves fans mad that they haven't made it. I agree, you know, we'll make a move in the pen. And Hawks fans mad that everybody's mad about something, it seems. I don't know. I'm pretty happy with the way things are right now. I think Atlanta United and the Braves are champions. I don't know. It's just me. I'll quit being an apologist. College basketball, March toward March. It is going to be kind of a fascinating March in this sense. You tell me beyond, say, Duke. All right, just beyond Duke. You tell me who you have in your Final Four that you can guarantee will be there. Because here's my answer. I can't guarantee anybody will be there. Deshaun Tate is our college basketball expert. He is at Tate's Take Sports, and he is joining us. He does the podcast as well for 92.9thegame.com. Joining us this morning. Hey, Deshaun.
Freaky good morning, and since I can't get you to say it, HD, what up, though?
What up, though?
If you guys don't mind, I got a little something I've been having on my chest lately, if you don't mind.
What you got?
If you don't mind, just give me a quick second.
What you got?
I've been working diligently, waiting patiently, standing my own square, standing my own little box. I let everybody have the, you know, the preseason NFL, regular season NFL, you know, bowl games and Super Bowls and everything else. And now that it's my turn to flip the page and talk about some college basketball, here come all this AAFL and XFL and all this other kind of stuff. And I told a buddy of mine, I said, you know what, wait till I get on the morning show. I'm going to let freaking Hugh know how I feel about that. My brother said, hey, I don't think you want to do that, man. HD might bench press you, brother. I said, yeah, I don't want to do that before you go into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Hey, well, thank you. Thank you very much, man. But no, the floor is yours. As a matter of fact, I want to give you congratulations. Last night, I heard you asking questions to Coach Pierce at the Hawks game, you know, keeping it 100. And, you know, you're getting ready for that transition. But you know what? I want to ask you. Been hearing a lot about this kid from Murray State. Tell me about this young man.
I like John Morant. I like him. I like him. But I like him as a college player. I'm not sure what he is at the next level yet. But I like him here, obviously. And so, you know, he's one of those type of players that can score in bunches. And you don't have to beg him or yank him up in timeouts and huddles and grab him by the uniform and tell him to go out there and play some defense. And, you know, that's a big problem in today's game, where there's not really a lot of implementing on defense. So, you know, in terms of that, I like him as a player. And I think that he's a phenomenal scorer, one of the best scorers in the country and obviously one of the best players in the country. But I will be honest with you, and this is not a knock on him, but I think that, you know, this is going to be somewhat of one of the more down years in a draft, and it's not helping the case being after one of the better drafts in last year. But I do like him personally as a player. It's just after, you know, after Zion, it starts getting a little thin.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, it's going to be really interesting because I think it's such a route right now. You know, you have Duke and Deshaun Tate is our college basketball expert, getting all this exposure, and they have this incredible team, and they're a highlight machine. And I think we all look at Duke and think, okay, this is the team to beat for the national title. I think if there was any question as to whether that was the case, their win over Virginia solved that. I don't really think there's been much of a case for that. The question is, who then? I mean, who then? Because I look around the nation. Tennessee's the number one team in the nation. But I see, you know, potential cracks there. I mean, I have no idea right now, Deshaun. You got to help me here. Is there a mid-major like a Nevada? Gonzaga just suffered a horrific injury with Killian Tilly being out for the year. You know, is there a team out there, Houston, that can make a big run and suddenly be the Loyola of this year? Or are we missing out on Michigan just got beat by Penn State? I'm confused, really, beyond Duke. I really am.
This is the best part for you about the college basketball thing, is the fact that it's so unpredictable and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, obviously there's a lot of teams that are feeling really disrespected too, because Michigan's coming off a national championship game and they didn't lose a whole lot. They're probably definitely one of the best teams in the country. I think that they have a really good chance of returning and going back. When you look at the term and the definition of team, Nevada's been one of those teams that between them and Houston, they've only lost one game all year long. I like Nevada. You start looking at these senior-led teams, and those are typically the teams, especially that are well-coached and go deep and have depth on the bench. And they're one of those teams that can certainly do it. But looking at their schedule, it's very much like Gonzaga, who without Killian Tilly, you know, we were expecting for them to go back, especially after beating Duke. And they're just 2 years removed from a national championship game, too. So just to name a few teams, Virginia, I think, remember, they only lost to one team this year, and that team is Duke. You're not going to run into Duke in the NCAA tournament, with the exception of, you know, when you do potentially in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are the teams, I think, personally, outside of Duke. You do have Virginia, you do have Michigan, you do have Nevada, and watch out for Texas Tech. Texas Tech made it to Elite Eight last year, have a good team. Top two defensive teams in the country. Jared Culver is a stud.
You know what? I'm probably like everybody else, and I'm just starting to get back into college basketball because we had so much other stuff going on. We got the All-Star game coming up this weekend. What game should I tune into this weekend, Tate, that should pique my interest?
The big one, Tennessee and Kentucky. I think that's a college game day coming up this weekend. Kentucky coming off of a loss, I think, is the perfect setup. Coming off a loss to LSU at home. They get Tennessee at home. I think it's a perfect setup to beat Tennessee. Tennessee is due for one, but you know, I've harped on, you know, Tennessee all year long as far as they're very deserving of being at the top spot because they haven't lost any games since November, the first month of college basketball, to Kansas by 6 on a neutral site. But you know, I think Kentucky is going to be ready for them. They're playing a totally different team. With Ashton Hagans now showing that he can play some offense as well as defense, the ball is getting rolling. My biggest concern for a team like Kentucky probably is the fact that if it comes down the stretch to, you know, the free throw line, they don't typically do so well when it comes down to games being decided that way. So it still remains to be seen, but I think that I like Kentucky over Tennessee. That thing is going to be rocking. Rupp Arena is going to look like the old Rupp Arena again.
Now this weekend, Georgia Tech hosts Florida State, which is ranked 17th in the nation. Georgia hosts LSU, which is coming off that interesting and very controversial win over Kentucky, LSU number 19 in the nation. To that LSU, I mean, here's a team that nobody paying much of attention to. Gets a huge win at Rupp Arena, controversy notwithstanding, that also might be a team that suddenly pops for you in March, right?
Yeah, you definitely want to watch out for LSU. LSU being one of those teams, I think, is definitely the third best team in the SEC, in my humble and personal opinion. I think there is some vulnerability to being out-coached with Will Wade. Not saying that he's not a good coach, because I believe that he is, but he seems like he's a really, really good recruiter. This is only his, second year, I think, at LSU in Baton Rouge, and he's got it rolling between Emmett Williams, who's one of the more highlight, kind of a highlight reel in some instances, and Naz Reid, who will probably be a first-round pick in the NBA draft if he comes out, and Tremont Waters is one of the more exciting point guards in the country. Kind of small, but he definitely distributes the basketball. When he's on, he's on. Now, he does have some nights when he's not on, and they can still pull wins out. They can still get wins. But I think in order to make that kind of run, they're certainly going to need him. He's probably one of the very few X factors on that team.
Deshaun Tate's our college basketball expert. Deshaun, just real quickly on Georgia. Tom Crean, has had a really interesting week. What with kind of calling his players out, and he tried to backtrack off that and apologize, and then following that up by getting the highest-rated recruit Georgia's ever had in its history in the number two recruit in Anthony Edwards. Is Tom Crean, is this going to kind of all work, do you think, eventually at Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it can definitely do something, especially in the event that Ant-Man, as they call him, Anthony Edwards, can, bring some other guys over as well and kind of assist with the recruiting and things of that nature. But, this is a team that really needs that. And we've been sitting around all year long, for quite a long time. I know that I have, sitting back and saying, okay, who's going to be the guy as far as the coach or one of these teams between Georgia and Georgia Tech that's going to go over the top and be able to land a top prospect, especially in this state, and keep a guy, here in state, which is really tough to do, obviously. And that's the elephant in the room, and they were able to do that. Now, before we get to that part, we have to finish out the rest of this year, and that still kind of remains to be seen. Can they make a run in the conference tournament? Because outside of that, they're not going to get an automatic bid. There's some potential there, but it's highly unlikely, if you want to be honest. But I love the job that Tom Crean is doing. And you look at the opposition, when you look at what kind of pressure that's putting on the team across the street in Georgia Tech, and they brought, Josh Pastner in here. They, people said, I don't know what kind of coach he'll be, but I know what kind of recruiter he'll be. And since he's been here, you haven't really seen him recruit. His best player in Jose Alvarado is a three-star prospect, and they're on a losing streak just like Georgia. So, realistically, I like, at least the direction that George is headed in.
All right, Deshaun, tell them the fans where they can find your podcast.
Coming up real soon, real, real soon. We're getting everything finalized. We're getting everything going. 94 Feet on campus on 92.9. It'll be on the website. Also talked to Ant-Man on yesterday, did an interview with him. We're going to have that stuff up and ready to go as early as late morning or early afternoon on today. So that should be very, very interesting.
Yeah, and you'll tweet it out and we'll retweet it for you. No problem.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. At Tates Take Sports. TateStake Sports. HD, please don't bench press me, brother.
No, you're good. You're good. We're good. We're good. It was a good day. Good day. Good day.
Thank you, Deshaun. Do appreciate it, bub. Deshaun Tate's our college basketball expert. Dude knows some. He knows college hoops. We're going to lean on him for our. Of course, it's all the pressure's on him if he messes up our bracket.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bracket's going to blow anyway. The brackets are going to blow up anyway. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's what they do.
Did you see who said no to the NFL to replace Roger Goodell? It's All-Star Weekend in the NBA, too. And they're tied together, those stories. Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Now, more John and Hugh.
All right, let's have some fun.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh. Going to be a fun 9 o'clock hour. Not that the rest of the 8 is not going to be fun, but a fun 9 o'clock hour. Larry McReynolds from Daytona. Could Chase Elliott take home the big prize at the 500? Talk about the 15-year-old that's on the pole. He looks like he's 15 anyway. This William Byron. Man, does he look like a kid. Have you seen the pictures of the guy who's the pole sitter at Daytona? You should look him up. His name is William Byron.
I have not. William Byron. I'm about to look
B-Y-R-O-N.
Him up.
B-Y-R-O-N.
Right,
and tell me he doesn't look like he's 12. I mean, he's 21. Don't get me wrong. He's a guy. But, boy, he just looks
he's
really.
He's 21. He's a guy.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, he looks
oh,
like
no,
he's.
Oh, no, he does. He looks yeah, I'm like, looking at his picture.
Yeah, he looks like he's 15.
He looks like a Doogie Howser type. And yeah. He has that. What's that haircut? He has a little kid haircut. That's what it is, John. He has a little kid's haircut. As a matter of fact, he looked like he cut his hair with a Flo-Bee. Remember that Flo-Bee where they used to have the thing, the Flo-Bee?
Yes.
He cut his hair with a
Flo-Bee. Yeah, with the hair, right?
Cut your hair with the vacuum cleaner?
Uh-huh. Yeah, basically, the Flo-Bee. He cut his hair with a Flo-Bee.
Apparently, those didn't work because they're no longer around. What a shock.
Somebody has one.
Somebody probably does have one. What a weekend ahead. The Daytona 500, we'll talk to Larry Mack at 9 o'clock. Pitchers and catchers with the Braves report today. We'll talk to Chip Carey at 9:20 in the 9 o'clock hour on this Friday with John and Hugh. Leading up to this weekend, NBA All-Star weekend, John Collins in the Slam Dunk we've talked about, and, of course, Trae Young in the Skills Challenge, and both in the Rising Stars game and both in Charlotte right now as of this morning. And the Hawks are going to be well represented. I do wonder a little bit if John Collins is able to beat the Miles Bridges, Dennis Smith Jr., Amadou Diallo in the Slam Dunk and win the Slam Dunk title. What, if anything, does it mean anymore?
My money's on him because he didn't do too much last night, so he probably well-rested.
Yeah, he didn't do a lot.
That was a shot. That was a shot. I was there. I was dead wrong for that. I was dead wrong.
Well, but I mean, if he wins, does it really mean anything?
I mean, it's a nice little feather in his cap. He gets a nice little trophy. Yeah, I think it means that, you know, he's on the radar. Now, you know, and you took look at what he's been able to do this season as far as the season that he's having. I think that he is putting himself in position to be an all-around face of the franchise type guy here for the Atlanta Hawks. I really do. You look at some of the stuff that when he was hurt early in the season, how he was on with Neek and doing the pregame show.
Which he was good at.
He was really, really good at that. I think he's putting himself in a position to be a really good star.
Well, it used to be that you got a big pop out of being the Slam Dunk champion. No, I don't know anymore. Because I ask you this, as you sit in your car and you make your way to work, who won the Slam Dunk last year? How about the year before that? If you know, you're in the 1%.
I mean, you know,
1%.
The city that you live in, you know. I think the year before was the dude from Orlando. Can't think of his name, but it was the Orlando Magic dude.
Won. Well, yeah. See, Donovan Mitchell won it for last year, right? And then the year before was Glenn Robinson III, right? How many people remember that? Oh, they did? I mean, I don't know that you get the pop out of it that you used to get, but
no,
that doesn't mean that it isn't a good thing.
You don't, and it's because there's always, from a lot of the early slam dunk contests, you would remember a certain dunk or dunks from the competition that you'd be talking about with your friends for days. And these guys had some underwhelming dunks and underwhelming competitors to go against, and so this is what we're stuck with right now.
Yeah, and look, it's not that I don't want John to win. I do want John to win. I am going to be rooting for him to win. I hope he does win the Slam Dunk. It'd be a nice little pop for the Hawks and for John, and to have the two cornerstone guys that you're building the franchise around. Not that they don't have high hopes for other guys on the roster, but these guys have really stepped up in Trae Young and John Collins to become the two that you're going to build around right now. I mean, there's no question of that. We all get that.
Agree.
And so for them to have this chance to shine in Charlotte and the skills and in the dunk, that's a really good thing for the franchise. So we root them on and hope they do this. There was a story here that I found out I thought was interesting, Hugh, that came to our attention here. Apparently, Adam Silver had to turn down multiple requests from different NFL owners to switch leagues and become the new commissioner of the NFL. Apparently, there were a number of NFL owners asking Adam Silver to come over from the NBA to take over for Roger Goodell. And Adam Silver said, no thanks.
Wow. I don't even know how to respond to that, John. How much does the commissioner make in the NBA compared to the commissioner in the NFL make?
With bonuses, I think Goodell makes 40, right?
Yeah, he signed a $200 million deal.
Okay, and how much does Adam Silver make?
I have to Google that.
It's considerably less, I'd say.
I call BS on this story. That's the bottom line. I call BS.
I don't. Here's why I don't. Because I thought I recall this story popping up back when they were having the issues with Jerry Jones and Goodell a year or two ago, and before they finally ultimately gave Goodell the contract, that there was a faction of owners who were supposedly unhappy with Goodell. Silver has said that he wouldn't be interested in doing it right now. Here's why I don't think it would happen. Adam Silver is way too progressive for these NFL owners. And for some of the things that have gone on in the NBA, let's face it, it wouldn't fly with some of these NFL owners, in my opinion.
It's kind of weird to me because, you know, when you look at career movement, and I think that we're all in our own way trying to climb the ladder, our respective ladders. And if there was an opportunity there to grow the game, because he's grown the game of basketball. I forgot what the numbers were as far as how he's grown the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a chance to do something that has not been done before and really cement your legacy,
mm-hmm.
I would think that that would be something, not saying that he would do it, but that would be something that he would potentially entertain. Hey, and look, you look at the type of money that you're making an NFL commissioner.
Man.
So I don't know. Anymore.
This is probably sailed. I mean, Adam Silver's 56 years old. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And if there was an opportunity there, I think that you would entertain it. That I would definitely poke the bear, if you will, or I'd put my feelers out there and see what's going on. I think you have to. And as progressive as you say he is, AT, why not consider it? He put the kibosh on it. Like, for real, like, flat out put the kibosh on it.
Oh, I could see him considering it. I just don't know if the NFL owners would be ready for someone like him. I just don't think they would.
Yeah,
I think they just was tired of Roger Goodell, and they were just trying to, you know, get somebody that they could probably, you know, they felt like, you know, that could probably step in and they could have a better relationship with, if that was the case.
Yeah, and changing leagues doesn't automatically mean things. When David Stern, I still think David Stern gets a bad rap. I think David Stern did remarkable things for the NBA, but his associate commissioner for a long time before Adam Silver was Gary Bettman, and Gary Bettman left the NBA to take over the NHL. You could try, if you're a hockey fan, to convince me that Gary Bettman's done a great job as commissioner of the NHL. Because I'm not, you know, maybe you're happy with him. Okay, fine. A lot of people aren't, because the NHL is kind of just there right now. They're like, why aren't you promoting our sport more? Why aren't you promoting our guys more? Because they really don't. The NHL needs to do a better job of that. Daytona's about to roar to life on Sunday. 500 miles to history. Larry McReynolds, one of the true experts. Larry Mack going to join us next from Daytona as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.